Part 3. In this part, you will hear two segments from a radio program. After each segment, you will hear six questions about it. Before each segment begins, you will have time to preview the questions. You will hear each segment twice. Then you will hear the questions once. Choose the correct answer A, B, or C. Look at the questions, then listen to the first segment. Now you will hear the first segment.
For years, scientists have been researching mathematical skills in animals. New research carried out at Duke University suggests that monkeys are capable of mathematical thinking. Michael Jones reports.
Today, one of the researchers at Duke University, cognitive neuroscientist Julianne Jenkins, is here with us to explain their findings. Professor Jenkins, as far as I know, your experiments proved that rhesus macaque monkeys can carry out addition and subtraction operations. What did your experiments involve?
In each session of the subtraction experiment, we placed the monkeys in front of touchscreens and presented them with a number of dots. Next, a large square would hide all the dots. Then, some of the dots would slide off the screen from behind the shape. Only the big square, with the remaining dots hidden behind it, would be left on the screen. When decision time came, two sets of dots would appear on the screen, only one of which would contain the correct number of remaining dots. If the subject indicated the correct set, they were rewarded with a serving of Kool-Aid, their favorite drink mix. In the vast majority of trials, the monkeys chose the right answer without counting. We conducted the same experiment with a group of college students and discovered they had the same success rate as the macaques, each group choosing the correct answer in as little as a second.
And your findings in this experiment verify previous findings that rhesus monkeys can perform addition operations. In that study, you tested monkeys and college students on a math task where they had to add two sets of dots together. Two sets of dots were presented to the monkeys, separated by a delay of 500 milliseconds. Then, subjects were presented with two choice stimuli and were required to select the stimulus that contained the numerical sum of these two sample sets. And again, if the monkey chose the right answer, their reward was a serving of their favorite drink mix.
Precisely. And of course, it's not surprising that, in that experiment, the college students did better than the monkeys, scoring right 94% on average compared to the monkeys' 76%, since humans possess a sophisticated repertoire of mathematical capabilities. What is surprising is that, as it turned out, monkeys were adding up numbers in their heads before picking the right answer. We could understand that because, exactly like humans, the more similar in size the two given choices were, the more the monkeys had a hard time picking the right answer.
Professor Jenkins, what are the implications of your research for life in the wild?
Research has already shown that apes can determine at a glance roughly how much food is present in an area and decide whether to stay and eat or to move on. So, superior mathematical skills can help wild animals find the perfect spot in the forest to stop and forage or even gauge the size of a rival group. And because humans and rhesus monkeys apparently share about 93% of their DNA sequence and a common ancestor roughly 25 million years ago, the findings could provide new insight into the evolutionary origins of our ability to count.
Now you will hear the segment again.
For years, scientists have been researching mathematical skills in animals. New research carried out at Duke University suggests that monkeys are capable of mathematical thinking, Michael Jones reports.
Today, one of the researchers at Duke University, cognitive neuroscientist Julianne Jenkins, is here with us to explain their findings. Professor Jenkins, as far as I know, your experiments proved that rhesus macaque monkeys can carry out addition and subtraction operations. What did your experiments involve?
In each session of the subtraction experiment, we placed the monkeys in front of touchscreens and presented them with a number of dots. Next, a large square would hide all the dots. Then, some of the dots would slide off the screen from behind the shape. Only the big square, with the remaining dots hidden behind it, would be left on the screen. When decision time came, two sets of dots would appear on the screen, only one of which would contain the correct number of remaining dots. If the subject indicated the correct set, they were rewarded with a serving of Kool-Aid, their favorite drink mix. In the vast majority of trials, the monkeys chose the right answer without counting. We conducted the same experiment with a group of college students and discovered they had the same success rate as the macaques, each group choosing the correct answer in as little as a second.
And your findings in this experiment verify previous findings that rhesus monkeys can perform addition operations. In that study, you tested monkeys and college students on a math task where they had to add two sets of dots together. Two sets of dots were presented to the monkeys, separated by a delay of 500 milliseconds. Then, subjects were presented with two choice stimuli and were required to select the stimulus that contained the numerical sum of these two sample sets. And again, if the monkey chose the right answer, their reward was a serving of their favorite drink mix.
Precisely. And of course, it's not surprising that, in that experiment, the college students did better than the monkeys, scoring right 94% on average compared to the monkeys' 76%, since humans possess a sophisticated repertoire of mathematical capabilities. What is surprising is that, as it turned out, monkeys were adding up numbers in their heads before picking the right answer. We could understand that because, exactly like humans, the more similar in size the two given choices were, the more the monkeys had a hard time picking the right answer.
Professor Jenkins, what are the implications of your research for life in the wild?
Research has already shown that apes can determine at a glance roughly how much food is present in an area and decide whether to stay and eat or to move on. So, superior mathematical skills can help wild animals find the perfect spot in the forest to stop and forage or even gauge the size of a rival group. And because humans and rhesus monkeys apparently share about 93% of their DNA sequence and a common ancestor roughly 25 million years ago, the findings could provide new insight into the evolutionary origins of our ability to count.
Number 39. What is surprising about the monkey's success in the subtraction experiment? Number 40. How far apart were the two sets of dots shown to the monkeys in the addition experiment? Number 41. What was the similarity between monkeys and students in the addition experiment? Number 42. What was identical between the two experiments? Number 43. How did the two experiments differ? Number 44. What is the significance of mathematical skills for wild animals? Look at the questions, then listen to the second segment. Now you will hear the second segment.
We've definitely all enjoyed a tomato salad. How many of us know that it took centuries for the tomato to become a staple item in kitchens throughout the world? Matt Spacey reports.
The tomato is native to the Americas, and Europeans were introduced to this fruit in the 16th century when the early explorers brought products from the newly discovered lands back home. It was welcomed in households across southern Europe, but met with resistance as it moved north. Botanist Mary Stewart is here with details.
Because of the highly perishable nature of the fruit, it is likely that the tomato was among the last of the Native American species to be adopted as a cultivated food plant by the Indians. It was not until the Europeans arrived that some importance was given to it. When it was introduced in Europe, most Europeans thought the tomato was poisonous, and that's because rich people used plates made of pewter, a substance with high lead content. The tomato, which is high in acid, would cause the lead to leach out into the food, resulting in lead poisoning and death. And this is basically the reason it was only eaten by the poor, especially Italians. While it was cultivated throughout pre-Civil War America, the tomato was not embraced as it belonged to a plant family which included poisonous plants, so it was guilty by association. But the Civil War was a tomato game changer. Canneries boomed, filling contracts to feed the Union Army. Tomatoes, which held up well during the canning process, rose to the occasion. After the war, demand for canned products grew, with more tomatoes being canned than any other vegetable. And in the 1800s, a time of massive immigration from Europe to America, the Italian immigrants brought their food to their new country, with their pizza and their tomato sauces gaining further popularity for the tomato. Tomato processing began in 1847, when Harrison Woodhill Crosby, the chief gardener at Lafayette College, developed a crude method of canning tomatoes. Prior to 1890, all tomato canning was done by hand. Industry techniques improved with canning technology, and tomato juice came on the market with the development of the juice extractor in the 1920s. In the late 1960s, mechanical harvesting became a reality, and this drove the industry to develop better techniques of bulk handling and processing.
But the preservation of pectin, a natural constituent of ripe tomatoes that cements the fleshy red tissues together, is of paramount importance in the production of tomato products. The more pectin retained, the denser the final product. To prevent the loss of pectin, tomatoes must be heated very rapidly once they have been chopped. To produce this effect, the tomato industry utilizes the hot break technology, which works on the principle that a stream of raw tomatoes will heat very rapidly when entering a large volume of very hot tomatoes. Today, the tomato industry in the United States is thriving, with over 10 million tons of processed tomatoes produced annually. It seems the concern over tomatoes is long gone, put to rest by the millions of people who consume them on a daily basis.
Now you will hear the segment again.
We've definitely all enjoyed a tomato salad. How many of us know that it took centuries for the tomato to become a staple item in kitchens throughout the world? Matt Spacey reports.
The tomato is native to the Americas, and Europeans were introduced to this fruit in the 16th century when the early explorers brought products from the newly discovered lands back home. It was welcomed in households across southern Europe, but met with resistance as it moved north. Botanist Mary Stewart is here with details.
Because of the highly perishable nature of the fruit, it is likely that the tomato was among the last of the Native American species to be adopted as a cultivated food plant by the Indians. It was not until the Europeans arrived that some importance was given to it. When it was introduced in Europe, most Europeans thought the tomato was poisonous, and that's because rich people used plates made of pewter, a substance with high lead content. The tomato, which is high in acid, would cause the lead to leach out into the food, resulting in lead poisoning and death. And this is basically the reason it was only eaten by the poor, especially Italians. While it was cultivated throughout pre-Civil War America, the tomato was not embraced as it belonged to a plant family which included poisonous plants, so it was guilty by association. But the Civil War was a tomato game changer. Canneries boomed, filling contracts to feed the Union Army. Tomatoes, which held up well during the canning process, rose to the occasion. After the war, demand for canned products grew, with more tomatoes being canned than any other vegetable. And in the 1800s, a time of massive immigration from Europe to America, the Italian immigrants brought their food to their new country, with their pizza and their tomato sauces gaining further popularity for the tomato. Tomato processing began in 1847, when Harrison Woodhill Crosby, the chief gardener at Lafayette College, developed a crude method of canning tomatoes. Prior to 1890, all tomato canning was done by hand. Industry techniques improved with canning technology, and tomato juice came on the market with the development of the juice extractor in the 1920s. In the late 1960s, mechanical harvesting became a reality, and this drove the industry to develop better techniques of bulk handling and processing.
But the preservation of pectin, a natural constituent of ripe tomatoes that cements the fleshy red tissues together, is of paramount importance in the production of tomato products. The more pectin retained, the denser the final product. To prevent the loss of pectin, tomatoes must be heated very rapidly once they have been chopped. To produce this effect, the tomato industry utilizes the hot break technology, which works on the principle that a stream of raw tomatoes will heat very rapidly when entering a large volume of very hot tomatoes. Today, the tomato industry in the United States is thriving, with over 10 million tons of processed tomatoes produced annually. It seems the concern over tomatoes is long gone, put to rest by the millions of people who consume them on a daily basis.
Number 45. Why was the tomato the last of the Native American plants to be grown by the Indians? Number 46. When the tomato was introduced in Europe, what rendered it poisonous? Number 47. What made the tomato popular during the American Civil War? Number 48. How did the Italians contribute to the popularity of the tomato in the USA? Number 49. What happened in the 1920s? Number 50. Why is the hot break technology used in the tomato industry? End of the listening test.